blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 243, the first stanza. In vision to his saints, God spake, from out the people, one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save, ordained, exalted, strong to save. The first of Psalter 243.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book of the Bible, and there of Genesis and chapter 3. But first we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, just and righteous God, we have heard of our deep fall in these moments, before which there was no disease, there was no affliction, trial, tribulation, no sorrow, no tears, and no death. But it was a moment which has changed all things here below. And so it continues to this very moment, and that curse and that thou hast laid upon the ground, and the curse and that lies upon us and upon our children, so that each day we do hear the numbers of the dead. And it comes also within the walls of our own denomination. And each one has their own circumstances, has their own family, and has their own soul. Each one has to appear when thou dost call before thy great judgment seat, and has to give an account suddenly of all that he has been given in this life, or that thou may give to us understanding hearts, that we may see and feel that all that is come upon us, that is due to our own iniquity, and that it is only what thou hast said from the very beginning, that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And now as a congregation also, We sit here in thy house and stand, and we come with a mask over our mouth, lest there come out from us infectious disease. But thou knowest, as thou hast said it, that out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. And it cometh all out of our mouth, as thy servant did say, the tongue is a fire. It is an unruly evil. And we also, Job did say, ought to lay our hand upon our mouth, lest the evil comes out and is infecting our neighbor. Oh, that thou may show unto us what lives in our hearts, and that our mouths indeed may come in the dust of self-abasement before thee. Thy servant did say, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That we might feel something of it, especially in these weeks. For we will commemorate when thou wilt give it. In the weeks to come, the coming of thy dear Son into this world, and that is to save his people from their sins. But if we have never seen our own sins, And then we will never need and desire thy dear Son. O Lord, how wretched and how miserable that we are, and that we do not even see our great need and wretchedness and misery. But we wallow in it day by day and have no desire to be delivered from it, but are dead in sins and in trespasses. And then it is only thy Holy Spirit which is able to deliver us from so great a death, that we may receive life and light and eyes to see and a heart that may be melted in the midst of all thy judgments. And when thy word does come unto us also from day to day and from week to week, wilt thou grant us instruction therein in this thy holy day? And when we are round about that word once again in thy house and those that are in their homes, then thou art not bound to time or to place. For thou knowest the circumstances and thou knowest the desires of all. And when there is a desire to be in thy house of prayer, O Lord, then thou art able to come anyway. And thou dost stand above it all, O, we beseech thee, that thou may take away all the circumstances for a little while, and that we may be separated for a little while, and that we may take heed to thy word, and that thou may speak unto our hearts. And then we shall receive a blessing in the midst of all the turmoil, all the disagreements. O Lord, thou wilt bring thy church into a blessed unity one day, and then there shall be no disagreements anymore. O, teach us out of thy holy word, and to draw us, that we may be one a people who are united about thy truth, and that thou may thyself look upon us as a nation also. And nations, the world, the diseases, O Lord, wilt thou be merciful unto us? Could it please thee to stay thine hand? For is it not, O Lord, enough? O, could it please thee to turn us again as nations unto thee and to thy testimonies, that we might feel something of thy judgments, and that our sins may be before our face, and that our rulers and our lawmakers and our judges may also be given to bow their knees before thee. O, seek us out, Lord. Change us, turn us, draw us, and that we might run after thee. Care thou for all that are sick and afflicted, and with whatever diseases and afflictions that they may have. All that is from our sin, give us to know and realize it. And wilt thou turn us from it, and wilt thou remember and help those that are miserable, those that are poor, those that are afflicted, but also those that do mourn in these days. Do a comfort as thou alone art able to do. Wilt thou give unto us a little reprieve, a little blessed hour in thy house. In this afternoon, do strengthen us to bring thy word. Oh, that it may be a good hour to be together by the leadings of thy Holy Spirit. Do forgive and take away all that is amiss for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 41, the fifth stanza. Who can know his evil heart and discerning all his sin? O, cleanse me, Lord, from hidden faults and make me pure within. The fifth stanza of Psalter 41. Beloved congregation, today we begin the season of Advent. What does that mean, children? Advent. Well, that speaks about someone who is coming, or something, an event, something that is coming in the future. So it is not there. There is a certain promise of its coming. Thus, when there is a promise of something coming, then there is also an anticipation. There is a looking forward to that thing to come, some kind of expectation. What do you look forward to, children? In the Advent, what does the world look forward to in the Advent season? We can go, if we go into Lethbridge, then we see that there are so many cars. They are all in the shopping malls, and they are all busy, busy, busy with what? You say they are getting presents, maybe. That is right. And then in their house, then there will come a tree. Tree in the house, you say? We don't have trees in our house. No, hopefully we don't have trees in our house. But many people will bring a tree in their house, a pine tree. They call it a Christmas tree. And that is after the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you think, children, that has to do, that tree, with the Lord Jesus Christ? Say nothing. That is right. That is nothing. And those presents, you say, that would be nice, maybe. If my mother and my father, they would give me a present. Well, sometimes I hope your mother and your father, they get you a present too. But you should not ask your mother and father to do that now. Then they have to be busy with the whole world in the store at this time. That is not good, because then we are busy with the world. And then your father and mother, they lead you in the wrong way. No, those things we do not do. Another time, your father and mother, they will buy you a present for your birthday or another day. This time in the church, we also have a commemoration. And that has much to do, that has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are looking forward also. Then we think back to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was not yet here upon the world. And then there was a time that they were looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And that time we call Advent. And now that has to become personal. That needs to be for each and every one of us, not just four Sundays of the year. No, that has to become personal for our own heart, that we become, as we can read God's children were in that time, an Advent people. And so we can read that also of Adam and Eve. And that we wish to consider with you in this hour, with the Lord's help, from Genesis 3, the 15th verse. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So far the words of our text. The first Advent promise. First, the content of this promise. And second, the preciousness of this promise. The first Advent promise. First, the content. And second, the preciousness of this promise. Is our text actually a promise? is our text not actually a curse? Say, that is spoken unto the devil. That is spoken unto the devil from the Lord. And there was no interrogation, there was no questioning of the devil, as there was a questioning of Adam and Eve. But there was no questioning here of the devil. Only the sentence, the Lord, he brings the devil before him and he gives him his sentence. Tells him what his curse is. Why was the devil not questioned? What is the purpose of questioning? Well, in the first place, when we question, when we come before our judge and get questioned, then it is to find out the truth. Did the Lord need to find out the truth? Say, no, the Lord, he knew the truth. So that was not necessary for the Lord to question the devil. But does the Lord question to find out the truth? Say, the Lord knows the truth. And yet he questioned Adam and Eve. And sometimes, children, when your father and mother, they bring you also before them and they ask you some questions, then sometimes they actually know already the answer. You don't know that, maybe. But they know, and then they begin to ask you, did you do it? What have you done? And why do they do that? If they know that already, well, then they want to convince you. They want to convince you of the wrong that you have done. Why? Because if they can convince you, well, then they can bring you perhaps unto repentance. Was that necessary for the devil? Say, no. Why not? That devil, actually, he was condemned already. There was no reason to try to bring Satan unto repentance. And therefore he gets only a sentence. There was no hope of pardon for the devil. And that is now the difference also for us between being in the time and being with the devil in hell. That here, the Lord, he still questions us. The Lord, he still interrogates. But when we come one day, if that will be our eternal home, then there will be no need to do that anymore. Because then it is too late. And thus we read the curse. We read the curse here upon the serpent, snake. What do you think about serpents, about snakes? Generally, a snake, he is abhorred. There are people, they make pets of a snake. We would say, congregation, be careful to make a pet of a snake. There is only one reason that we may keep such a snake. That is, that we may abhor it. That we may abhor it every single day, every time that we take a look at that serpent. That we may be brought back to that temptation, unto that fall, and that we may abhor that animal because the Lord, he has cursed that serpent. And yet there is a great danger in it. To keep a serpent. Say, because a serpent is dangerous in and of itself. Yes, maybe. But also because we become accustomed to things. And when we think we will keep that serpent, and every time, then we will think upon our fall and what that instrument was of our fall. Then pretty soon we do not think of that anymore. Pretty soon we become accustomed to things that are evil, like a book, bad books, evil books, movies. When we do that every day again, then we become accustomed unto that evil. And then we begin to befriend that snake. To befriend it as a thing that God Himself has cursed. What was that curse? And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, so shalt thou go. It seems that there was a change. That before that serpent that had certain appendages, perhaps he had some kind of legs, that he was able at least to crawl over the earth in a semi-upright position. And the Lord, He says, because of that sin, that He would take them away. That He would have to go, He says, on His belly for His shame, that He may be humbled, and that He may eat the dust of the ground. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman who has made friends with you. Made friends with you. You and that woman. And I am going to make you now enemies of each other. Is that not so, children? What do when you see a snake? You run away. Say, mother, father, a snake. Over there. Don't go there. Why? He will bite you. He will bite you in the heel. Many of them are poisonous. He will get sick. Some are deadly. So he will bite you in the foot, in the leg, in the heel. And then your father, children, what does he do? Then he takes a shovel, maybe, and he comes and he finds that snake and he hits them. Him how? He hits him right over the head. To kill him? That is now the perpetual enmity. The world is now 6,000 years old, and that has never changed. That happens today like it always has. That is the curse that the Lord, He has placed upon that devil, that there would be enmity between thee and the woman that was placed upon that snake, upon that serpent. Of course, that does not tell the whole story. Why not? Because that serpents, they do not speak. Say, what do you mean they do not speak? That one serpent, he spoke to Eve. Yes. Children, do snakes talk? No, you see, they do not talk. How did that serpent talk to Eve? So she could understand it. That was not the snake. No, that was the devil. He was in the snake. Thus, the devil, he has used that snake as an instrument in his hand. He needed to do that somehow. That he may come to that woman in a physical form. That she may see him. Why? Because he is a devil. He does not have a body. He is a devil. He is just a spirit. And if he comes not in that form of that serpent, then he cannot be seen. And thus, it is not that serpent that is speaking unto Eve, but it is the devil. The devil within that serpent. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Then the Lord, He does not speak just to that serpent, the instrument, indeed, that instrument is cursed. But the Lord, He is speaking especially to Satan. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that woman with whom that you have made friends. Have we made friends with the devil? Have you made friends with the devil, young people? No. I did not make friends with the devil. Is that right? Who is the devil? I've never heard a serpent speak. I've never spoken with the devil. The devil, he has never spoken unto me. Oh, the devil, he has no body. The devil, he has a great power. How was it that Eve, she should have recognized that serpent that was not just the serpent of the Lord, as the Lord had created him? How should Eve have recognized the devil in that serpent? By the temptation. By the temptation to sin. Because that serpent has told Eve that she should do something that is against the commandment of God. That is how the devil, he is to be recognized. That is how we may recognize the devil's voice. Inside of us, a voice. Outside of us, a friend, someone in this world, to do against the commandments of the Lord, to do against holiness. That is of the devil. Righteousness, uprightness. Thus, we must recognize then that we hear that voice of the devil. Hollywood. Hollywood, young people. That is of the devil. Have you made friends with Hollywood? We have said for many, many years, ever since that television came out many, many years ago. And then our fathers, they have rejected this. They have rejected the movies on that television. Why? Because they are of the devil? Do you not recognize that, young people? And I would like to ask you, because it is now for you so easy. It is a temptation that is much greater than the temptation when we were young. But now today on your telephone, then at any time you can begin. And you can look and you can sit down next to the devil. How can you recognize that is of the devil? Godlessness. The first commandment. Idolatry, taking of the name of the Lord in vain, Sabbath day desecration, dishonoring father and mother, rebellion, murder, adultery, theft, lying, cheating, vanity, covetousness. Tell me which of the Ten Commandments of the Lord have you not seen, young people, in those movies? And now when you see that, when you hear that, what happens? That is the same when you read such books, novels, such things that are completely against the commandments of the Lord. You say it is worthless rubbish. Yes, not only, it is dangerous. very, very dangerous. Why? Because every time again that you place yourself under this instruction of the devil and you begin to converse with him, then you go deeper and deeper to become accustomed unto that sin. What is the devil seeking? The devil, he is seeking your destruction. Oh, if he could only get you to embrace sin, if he can only get you to embrace him, to put your arms about him. Indeed, Eve, how did that happen? First, she looks at the tree. She is far away from it. The Lord says, neither shalt thou touch it. Well, she hasn't touched it yet. But she will just go near. She will look. And then when she is looking and she becomes accustomed to looking, then she takes a few steps further toward it, nearer, nearer. And when she gets within a certain distance, then she can see the serpent. He is waiting. And he speaks. She can hear him. Say, run, Eve, run away. No, I will just listen. I have not eaten. I have not touched it. She listens. The devil begins to speak. And he begins to set before her eyes something that sounds so very grand. That sounds to her like something that she would desire. And so you see how that it goes from step to step until she touches and she eats and she falls. We have no business with the devil. We need to crush it. We need to hit him over the head. Just like a poisonous snake. Every temptation. James says, resist the devil. And he will flee from you. But we do not. Why do we not? Well, because Eve, she has become a friend of the devil. She has listened. She has gone near. And Adam, he has joined her. She has influenced her very husband so that he also did take and did eat. And now all their posterity, all their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, all of them are born as friends of the devil. Friends of the devil. See, that sounds awful. And yet it is true. A wicked disposition. Do you ever feel that? Living in your heart. Just ask yourself, with every temptation, why is it a temptation? Because there is something that delights me in it. There is something that draws my heart. That is the sin in it. That is living in our nature, our fallen nature, friends of the devil. And now what did the Lord say to Satan? He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He says, I will break your friendship. I will put you at war with the woman. So that the woman is going to desire to destroy you as much as you desire to destroy her. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Say the seed of Satan. Does Satan have seed? Does the devil have seed? No. Say, because the devils, they do not procreate. All the angels, they were made all at once. There is no increase, no, there is no decrease in the number of the angels and the number of the devils. So what does that mean then? When it speaks about thy seed, thee and thy seed, well, it speaks about all the devils, not just about this devil, but it says that the devils, that is every one of that troop, the troop that is following Beelzebub, the leader, the prince of the devils. Thus, everyone is numbered among them. They are all together, all doing the bidding of their father, thy seed and her seed. Her seed, that is the seed of the woman. Say, what is the seed of the woman? Well, that woman has a great posterity because actually this whole world, everyone in this whole world is one of the seed of this woman. That is true, but that is actually not all those people that are meant here by the Lord. Why not? Well, only look about us. Only look within us. And what do we see? Do we see every one of that seed of the woman? Do we see everyone who has a human nature, that every one of those people, they are at war with the devil? You say, certainly not. Because most of this world that is not at war with the devil, but most of this world, it is just the opposite. We are born seeking the devil. We are born serving the devil. Thus, actually, it only refers here to a little portion, a very small portion. The Bible calls it the remnant. So we read that in the book of Revelations, that the dragon, he was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And who is the remnant of her seed? It says, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Are we of the remnant of that seed? That keep the commandments of God. Who of us can say that? That we keep the commandments of God. The rich young ruler said that. All these things, he says, I've kept from my youth up. What did the Lord Jesus say to him? He says, there is only one reason you say that, and that is because you do not know your own heart. Keep the commandments of the Lord. Well, we will try you, young man. Then just go. We will just talk about one here. Covetousness. Go sell everything. All that you have. Give that to the poor and then come and follow me. Oh, learn a little bit, young man, of what is living in your heart. Oh, why is that? That God's church, they will not say that. That I am not one of those who keeps the commandments of God. Because of self-knowledge? To keep the commandments of God? No, I am afraid I do not. If it were to be so easy as just to live in a certain outward way, well, then maybe it would be possible. But I find something so different in my heart. And then the Lord, he says in his word, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And thus the Lord, he puts in the heart of his people enmity against the devil and enmity against everything that is of the devil. That means the Lord puts enmity against sin and me. I look in my heart and then I am afraid. Why? Because I still find love of sin. Because I still find in my heart the desire for sin. And then I have to say no. Oh, my heart that is always going, hankering again after that sin. What is against the Lord? What is of the devil? What is vain? What is carnal? What is evil? And then I can make a vow in the beginning of the day. I've done that many times, you say. And in the end of the day, I have not kept it. And I don't do it anymore. I don't do it anymore. Because I am not able to keep it. Oh, is there not reason, good reason, that the Lord, he has given that in the mouth of Paul. He says, I find then a law within me that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Keep the commandments of God. The remnant of her seed, am I of that remnant? Is that also our question? Is that also our burden? Oh, that is now the warfare that the Lord, he is speaking about here. Because he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Thus we have that remnant. Thus, who is that seed? That seed of that woman. You say there is that remnant of the Lord that is at war with the devil and with sin. And yet we are not finished. Why not? Because the Lord is not finished. What does the Lord say finally? He says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we know that snake, children, the snake, he can bruise your heel. But what happens when your dad, he brings the shovel, and he bruises his head? Say that is the end of that serpent, the end of that snake. That is right. Thus, the Lord, he speaks about the warfare, but he speaks then about the end of the warfare. How is that warfare going to turn out? And he says how that is going to be. Who's going to be the victor then? Is it going to be the devil? No, the Lord says, it is going to be thy seed, the seed of the woman, the remnant of the Lord. Is that so? What would they say? No, that cannot be. Because if we are of that remnant of the Lord, oh, we cannot have the victory We cannot bruise that head of that serpent. We cannot receive the victory in that warfare with sin. No, that cannot be. That it is pointing merely to that remnant of that seed of that woman. None? Is there really none, children? Not one of the seed of the woman? None? What does the Bible say? The Bible that says they are all gone aside. They are all together become corrupt. There is not one that doeth good. Not one. And yet, children, who was the victor over the devil? That remnant that says we cannot keep that law. That remnant that says that Satan, he is too strong for me. That remnant that says my disposition, that is evil. Children, you can tell me the answer. Of whom does God speak? Of whom does the Father speak? You say the Lord Jesus, that is right. The Lord Jesus. He is here promised. He is here promised. He shall become the seed of the woman. He shall become a man. He shall become a person. He will come in the human nature. And when he has that human nature, he is going to come here to fight. Say, the Lord Jesus. He was so meek. Did he come here to fight? He did not fight against anyone, you say. Oh, yes, he did. And when there was evil persons, Pharisees, scribes, they came to the Lord Jesus. They tried to put him in a trap. Then what did he do? Did he just let them run all over him, we say? No. He said, woe unto you. And those people that were meek, and those people who were abused, those he protected. The poor. Thus he came to fight. He came to fight against what? The devil, yes. He came to fight against sin, because sin that is of the devil. And he came to win that battle? No, not to lose that battle. But the Father, he promises here that he shall bruise his head. He shall destroy sin. He shall destroy that devil. So Satan, he is going to lose that battle. And that seed of that woman, he is going to bruise his head, to crush him, and to take away his power, and to deliver who? To deliver that church. But let us sing first. 264, the first stanza. Come, let us sing before the Lord new songs of praise with sweet accord. For wonders great by him are done. His mighty arm has victory won. 264, the first stanza. the first Advent promise. First, the content of that promise, but now in our second thought, the preciousness of that promise. We said, is that really a promise? Was that not actually a curse? And indeed, it was a curse. Here, Satan is assured in that curse that he is going to lose that warfare. But if you have a warfare, and one side loses, then the other side what? Children. Well, you say then the other side wins. That is logical, right? That has to be. They are one against the other. And do you know what the Lord does? If the Lord gives you a new heart, he also helps your mind to think. Because the Lord, he sanctifies the reasoning of his children. And they become the most logical persons that live in the whole world. Do you believe that, young people? Say the professors in the university? No. No. When they propose their falsehoods, it is illogical. The Lord gives that reasoning, that right reasoning, in the life of his own children. Thus, when the devil is said he will lose that battle, and it is just out of dead curse that God's children, they are receiving comfort. And so you see our first parents standing there, and they are listening. You are also listening today. And they hear the word of the Lord. They hear the word of God, that judge. They hear that sentence that is pronounced upon the devil, just like we do right now. And what does that mean to us right now? The curse of the Lord upon the devil. What does that mean to us? Maybe you say nothing. Is that right? You go out of God's house, you say, that was a nice story. That was very interesting. And it means nothing. Why not? Because it lacks suitability. Because there is no place to receive it. Some of you young people, some of you, you ride a horse. And if you would have a bar of gold and you would hold that out, you try to lure that horse with a bar of gold, do you think you can do that? So that means nothing to him. He would rather have an apple. Such a precious thing. Bar of gold means nothing to that horse. There is no suitability. And now the preaching of the gospel that also has for us no suitability. It is, we would rather have an apple. The Lord says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, but that's the way we are. We go home and then we want to snack children. Say, Mom, may I have an apple? And the gold that was there to lure you in that house of the Lord. No desire, no form, no comeliness in him. That was different with Adam and Eve when they were standing there. was very different with them as they stood and they heard that sentence upon the devil. That was not spoken to them, but they were listening with great interest, a great meaning to them. Their ears, they were open. Children, we have at home a cat. If there is a little sound, then you see her just looking, looking. Her ears, they go up. So what did I hear? That is now the way that Adam and Eve, they were standing and they were listening to what the Lord, he has spoken unto the devil. And then they heard something. And that was so sweet in their ears. How is that? Well, we see them standing there. And God, he had asked Adam and Eve some questions, and they had to answer him. How will that be for us? That is going to happen in the judgment. Soon, when we come into that judgment, and God, he is going to ask us questions, then we will have to give an answer. But that happens also in regeneration. In that new birth, when the Lord, he is appearing actually to the people as their judge. They see him as their judge. And the Lord, he is coming to ask you, children, in that regeneration, faith. It begins to apprehend God. And in that word, then they hear the questions of God. Adam and Eve, they can no longer hide from God. No, the Lord found them. And the Lord, he opens everything up. How pitiful that they appeared when he brought them out of that hiding place, and they were all wrapped in fig leaves. And then the Lord, he says, "Oh, Adam, are you hiding from me? Why, Adam, why are you hiding from me? Why are you wrapped like that? Is there something you want to hide?" "Yes." "My shame." "Shame? Why are you ashamed?" "I'm naked." "Oh? You're naked? How do you know that? Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree of which I have commanded thee that thou shalt not eat?" So how did the Lord know that? Well, he knows everything, yes. He knows everything. But they were trying to cover themselves. They were ashamed. And shame, that is the accompanying always guilt. Guilt. You see, today there is so much guilt. And there is no shame. Oh, there is shame. We cover it. We undress. Young people. And if everyone else is dressed, then we are ashamed. But if you will go to the beach and then everybody does it together, well, is there no shame? We just band together in our sin. Thus that shame is actually not gone. Guilt that is accompanied by shame. It is its companion. Do you ever feel that shame? That is how our first parents, they stood there. They were questioned by God, their judge. Also with the devil. He stood there too. Creation of God. And after they had to say to God what they had done, I did it. Yeah, we will have to say it. We may not say it to one another now, but we will say it unto the Lord. And in the regeneration, then we will also say it. Then we come to confess our guilt before the Lord. Do we know what that is? Say, Lord, I have eaten. Yes. Eve, Adam. And then what happens? Then it becomes quiet. Then the Lord, he stops speaking to Adam and Eve. Because the Lord, he now turns and he begins to speak unto the devil. Adam and Eve, they stand to the side, as it were. And they listen. And they hear what the Lord says to Satan. He's cursed. Cursed. You can believe that Adam and Eve, they have trembled. And then the Lord, he is no longer speaking with them. The Lord, in that regeneration, he is bringing those people, he brings them to confession. That can take sometimes many years to bring a person to confession. We don't say that so easy, young people. I was wrong. But do you know where the Lord brings his people? I am evil. Born in sin, thou desirest truth within. Does the Lord bring you there? And then sometimes it can be so quiet. No answer from the Lord. Then there is only one thing that people see. They stand there with our first parents. It is guilt. It is guilt. It is wrath. And then there is trembling. And then they have fears. Death. Eternity, the well-deserved punishment. They do not know how to come out of that. There is the threat of the Lord. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then they lay on their bed at night. Then there is no solution for them. They have to die. They have to appear before God. Those days, they seem like years. Those years, they can seem like centuries. Only sin, only wrath. That is the way that Adam and Eve, they are standing there before their judge. They hear the sentence of the devil, how they have trembled. And they are waiting. Waiting for what? Their own sentence. Their own sentence. Are you waiting for that too? Say, when is now that day going to come? When I hear out of the Word of God the curses in that book and the Lord applies them to my soul, a trembling. But now when the Lord is speaking unto the devil, then suddenly Suddenly, our first parents, they hear something. They hear something that makes their ears prick. There is something in it. There is couched in that a promise. A promise. You say, that is not so clear. That is the curse of the devil. That was not spoken unto our parents. Oh, it was clear to Adam and Eve. It is clear to the people. Sometimes just a little crumb. And it is very clear to them. Why? Because the Lord, He sanctifies their reason. He gives them ears to hear. And they say then that there is only one way that that can be. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Oh, the Lord does not only speak about that warfare, but the Lord, He speaks about the victory that there will be in that warfare. And now what is actually the inward testimony of that people that makes that promise applicable to them? That is, that in their heart, then they perceive that actually that warfare is within me. That's necessary. They perceive it. They may not wish to say it. They may not wish to confess it because they do not want to take what does not belong to them. But down deep in their heart, then they experience that warfare that is also in my life. And because they perceive this, then they also perceive that they are standing on that winning side in this promise. When the Lord, He is speaking about the victory in that warfare, that seed of the woman who will fight in his human nature, who will win that battle, who will be able to say, which of you convinced me of sin after he was tempted by Satan? And he has received that victory. Satan will think to put him to death. Satan will think to destroy the church on the basis of the truth that the Son of Man has spoken, that He has confessed that He is the Son of God. Therefore, He had to die. But Satan, he is greatly mistaken, because that very humility, that very suffering, that very death is going to be the victory of that seed of the woman for the remnant of her seed. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Oh, that was the door. It was the door that went open for our first parents when they are standing there in their guilt. When they are standing there waiting for the Lord to express the sentence against them. And now, for 930 years, Adam, he has clung to that promise of the Lord. You know, we do not read in the Bible that the Lord has ever come to speak to Adam again. I don't say he did not. We do not know that. I only say that it is not written in the Bible. We have sometimes people who have lived for 25 years who begin to profess Christianity, young people. And then they can tell you of maybe 5 or 8 or 10 or 20 different times that they say, "The Lord, He has spoken unto my soul." We read it one time that the Lord spoke to Adam. He gave Adam a promise. And Adam has lived off of that promise for 930 years. Do you know what Job says? He says, "The Lord hath spoken once, twice have I heard this." How much misery, how much suffering was there not in the life of Adam and Eve? Their firstborn was a murderer. Can you imagine it, parents? Secondborn was murdered. And their posterity, they had to live to see that. Cain, a vagabond in the earth. And a world which has grown and grown and grown in sin, making itself ripe for the judgments of the Lord. And with all this, we do not read that the Lord spoke to Adam. By that promise, Adam and Eve, they became an Advent people, waiting, 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 depending upon what the Lord He has given, never came in their days. The Lord is free. We would say they did not die with the assurance, but they died with that promise many years later than that promise that was fulfilled. They never saw it with their natural eyes, but they did see it. They saw it by the eye of faith. And they received hope. Hope. Oh, how important is hope. Isn't that so, young people? Do you know, children, when the season ends, and all those people, they are going to receive gifts. Christmas Day, under that Christmas tree, is going to lay for them deceit. Deceit. An expectation for weeks, children. They're going to look forward, look forward, look forward. And then it is going to disappoint. That happens over and over and over in this world, so that there are people, they are taking their own life. That is increasing every year at that time. Why? It is deceit. It is all of the devil. The devil, he says, it will make you happy. It is not true. No, we hear the promise of the Lord. It is a promise of another gift. It is the promise of the gift of God. And our first parents, they have seen it by faith. And that promise, or the promiser, he does not make that people ashamed. Oh, congregation, it will be the greatest wonder if we come in that door. Do you believe that? The greatest wonder. If we just come in to that door. Oh, young people, be careful. There is so much going on. We hear sometimes also the talk of our young people, and we are glad if you talk about the Bible, yes. We are glad if you want to seek for those things that are most necessary, but be careful. Because there are those that are speaking then about the highest steps of grace, about the assurance that the Lord is leading His children in. But if we come into guilt with our first parents, and we are standing and waiting for the execution of our own punishment, oh, then we are so happy. We are so glad. Not with the highest steps of grace in the first place, but that we may just escape it. I do not say that God's people, they should not seek to grow in grace. But I am afraid sometimes, young people, it is fearful sometimes to think of the deception of the devil. Do you know sometimes God's people, they have to go back so many years? Because what is the Lord doing? The Lord, He will have His people to stand on a solid foundation. Not on a whim, but on a solid foundation. And sometimes in the beginning they have so much to doubt. And what does the Lord do? He takes away this and He takes away that. Not altogether, but as a ground. One of God's people, they said once, I heard, I can write my conversion on my fingernail. And God's children, they have to go back sometimes. And they say, what have I? I have to go back so long time. And that is now all I have. That is all I have. I say, throw it away then. Throw it away then. No, they cannot throw it away. They cannot throw it away. It is a warfare. And they fear so often that they are going to lose that warfare. But sometimes, oh, the Lord brings them back to see what He has shown to them. Oh, that one glimpse. That one glimpse of Him, oh, it can be that it was so small. It can be that it was through the mist, that it was, as it were, a little ray of light in that darkness. And yet they may see. They may see something which gave them hope. Hope that will never make that people ashamed. I know there are people, they are offended at that. They're offended. I do not say it to offend anyone. I only say it to be honest. We cannot deceive ourselves. Do you know what we read in the Bible? And a beggar died. And a beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O make us one of that remnant of the seed of the woman. Then we will enter into that warfare. And then for us it will become impossible. But oh, what a blessed sight is to be received of him who has kept that whole law of God. Oh Lord, give us a desire that we may also commemorate a true Christmas day, and that we may look forward to his coming. Oh, give in the heart of young and old a holy urgency, and that the Lord would also reveal him in our own heart, in our own life, to give that hope that the world does not have, and that hope that is able to bring us through 930 years in this world. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst do it for thy name's honor, uphold thy people who cannot find anything anymore in their life. Oh, give them a little crumb out of thy holy word of truth. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Humble us under all thy gifts and all thy help. Help us in the week to come and care for the children, the students. Oh, then they must be once again in their homes. Oh, Lord, remember them. Wilt thou supply for all of them together and their teachers in this difficult way that they must go. Give those that are not able to study easily, and give them a little help, O Lord. Give them also a place at thy footstool to cry to thee in their needs and show them. Give them to feel that thou livest and that thou hearest the cry of the needy. And wilt thou so draw us, remember and keep us together in as one people, as one church, round about thy truth. Forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our last Psalter is 289 in the 18th stanza. His sacred word to Abraham he kept, though waiting long, and brought his chosen people forth with joy and thankful song. The 18th verse of Psalter 289. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.